FluteCast with Steven and Eric, the geekiest flute podcast in the whole wide world.
Welcome to the FluteCast with Steven Clark and Eric.
Hey, Eric, because we're going live on Instagram for the first time ever at the same time as recording our podcast, the people on Instagram don't have our theme tune.
That's true.
We have to do the theme tune. So I know on the podcast you're here, you've heard the official theme tune already, but the people live haven't got it, so we need to do it real quick. Are you going to do the voiceover?
Okay, I will try. Okay,
so here we go. Boom, boom, boom.
FluteCast with Steven and Eric. The geekiest flute podcast in the whole wide world.
So I got to remember the note. So this is the first time we're ever going live on our Instagram channel. So if you are listening to this podcast, you can actually log on to Instagram, to the FluteCast Instagram, and you can go back and watch us doing this live, like a TV show.
Yeah.
And I think you'll get it for 24 hours before it disappears.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Or a little bit less, because the FluteCast is going to be published a bit later today than...
Of course. Yeah. Because we're in the same room for the first time ever, and we're in Manchester, the UK. You haven't done the date and our usual stuff.
Yeah.
We should do all this.
Today is June. Let me check the date. Yeah, it's June 21st, and we're in Manchester. We are here to receive a big award.
We are. What's our award?
We're honored by the Manchester United for
football team. For our podcast. I hear all the Manchester United players listen to it every single episode.
Yeah.
It's part of their training regime.
Yeah, it's like their pep talk.
So, this is a special episode. It's episode number 5.
Yeah.
And it has a title. It is called The FluteCast, episode number 5, Steven versus Eric. And this is about who knows more about flute playing. Because all we do is talk about geeky flutes.
Yeah.
Don't we? Like,
yeah.
And for the last, like, 24 hours, all we have done is be really geeky flute players.
Definitely.
And stuff. So, I just want to get cracking straight into a game. We're going to do a game, then we'll have a chat. And then
you
we're
have
gonna
a game?
Out. I have so many games. So.
Cool.
I have a coffee mug, and I need to shake it.
I have a coffee mug, too.
You've just got coffee, don't shake
it.
Okay, all you have to do is pick a piece of paper out of the coffee mug, but don't look at it.
Okay.
And then give it straight back to me.
Okay. 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 Here it is.
This is called Steven's One Note Challenge. Okay. So I'm going to put on every piece of paper in here, there is a piece of flute music written on the paper, and I'm going to play the first note, and you have to tell me what the tune is.
Oh, okay.
So I show the screen. I don't think you can see my messy writing. So I know you have to ignore the car.
So the people watching our live stream on Instagram.
Oh yeah, I'm not going to show them the next one because they probably want to play along. Okay, so you get one note. Are you ready?
Okay. That's Forêt Fantasy.
Nope.
Mm.
You get two notes now.
Okay.
Oh god, I have to think what the second note is. Oh, I played the wrong note. Hang on. Okay. No, I haven't. I didn't play the wrong note. No, here we go. First two.
But I think I know now.
What?
Is it Syrinx?
Oh my god, it's Syrinx. How did you do that? How did you get that? I did play the right note. It starts in a B flat, right?
No, it's on a B.
Is it?
Yeah, isn't it?
I think it's B. No, yeah, it's a flat. It's
yeah, yeah,
flat.
Yeah.
Okay. Gosh, you think we wouldn't know what we're doing. Okay, good. You got a point for that one.
Okay.
Pick your next one.
Okay.
Don't look.
So, here's this.
Oh, you're supposed to do one next.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, you pick one.
Okay, you can have it. I've not looked. Just see
okay,
what
so
is.
I interview that. I hope I know.
Oh, we've got so many people joining our Instagram Live. I'm trying to keep an eye on these. Can you read my writing?
Yeah, but it's not going to be visible here, but I think...
That's okay, just play, because they're going to play along as well.
Okay.
That's the Bach Partita.
Yes!
Because I saw you playing it. Go give us the first like couple of notes so they can all hear it. Okay, you pick one.
This is really fun.
It's hard. I was having to really think.
Okay, here.
I I'm going to try and play it like in the style of the piece as well to give you more of a clue.
Okay.
Oh, this is kind of an easy one, I think. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm not looking, so I can see your fingers.
Okay. Do you know what it is? Do you want the next note?
Yeah, I need the next note. It's Paganini from...
Very good. I think I'm winning because you took two notes.
Yeah.
Okay, do I pick one now?
Yes.
Okay, I want this one.
Okay, so let me see.
Sorry that these are written on such bad bits of card.
Okay, ready.
I'm not looking. Mozart G major.
Yes!
That's so easy. I don't swear in our podcast. We apologize for any of this cause.
I have a sailor's mouth.
That was an easy one though. You pick.
I pick?
Yeah.
Okay, here. Here you go.
No, is it not your turn? Oh, it's my turn to play.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, go. Oh, this is a good one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I think this is a hard one actually. For the first note. Here we go. Do you know what it is?
No.
Okay, you need another note?
I need another note. Do I know this piece?
Yes. Another note?
Okay. It's just a chromatic scale.
Yeah, it is.
It's flight of the bubble. Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Who picks now?
You.
Okay. God, so I made way too many of these. It's gonna go on forever. Okay.
Okay. No.
You have to play it.
I need the sheet music.
You can't possibly. Everything is so
Can I go practice a little bit?
Just the first note.
No. I'm sorry. Oh. Again.
I don't know. Next, no. I need two notes. Do you know what I mean? What is that? Petrushka. It's not Petrushka, is it?
No.
Okay, I need three notes.
I don't know if I...
Prokofiev.
No,
Prokofiev Sonata.
Okay, no, three notes.
Oh. I don't have a clue what that is. I need four notes.
You're wrong.
Are you playing them like the right length?
Yeah.
Okay. I know, Ebert Concerto First Movement.
Yes.
Okay, play the Ebert Concerto First Movement so we can hear it.
No!
I'm joking. That's the third movement.
Yeah. I don't know it by heart.
Okay, pick. Last one.
Okay.
Sorry,
before you do that, I just have to say hi to everyone who is watching us on our Instagram Live. You're actually watching us recording the Flutecast, the next episode of the Flutecast.
Yeah, so when you go and listen to this, you'll
hear.
Be able to see what makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, are you ready? Last one?
Okay.
You want the second note?
You're so winning this. Okay.
The first and second notes are the same note.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
La ra 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 di ra di ra di. Is it right?
No.
Okay.
That was my chair.
Yeah, one more. I don't know if I know this piece.
You do know this piece.
Do I know this piece?
Don't make me laugh, I can't play the flute.
Ta-ra. Is that the next part?
I have no idea what you just sang.
Just play it.
Oh my god, you still don't know what it is. How can you not know what this is? Did you not get that? That was so easy.
Because I even guessed that earlier.
Well, I'm not even going to be nice. I definitely won that round.
You definitely won
that round. I destroyed you in that round.
But you made the game.
I did make the game Hank Williams card. But it was harder than I thought it was.
Yeah.
So, how's practice been going?
Good, or I don't know. I just recently got my good flute back from Brasov Treblos.
And is it working all properly again?
Fantastic. Hans Erik always does it.
So what was not working with it?
There were leaks all over, and I just needed a COA, I guess.
COA, you know, this is something I never heard of until, like, internet flute playing started. Like, COA, what does it even stand for? Check. Check out.
It's like,
I don't know.
Now, my brain's working.
Check oil and adjust.
Yes.
Check oil and adjust. I would just call it, like, a service.
Yeah.
And then we have, like, in the UK, like, different kinds of service. You have, like, your service, then you have other things. Then you have overhaul would be, like, your overhaul would be, like, when you, like, strip it down and change the pads and everything.
Yeah.
But this COA thing, I don't know if we use this expression in the UK yet. COA. British flute players, if you're on Instagram Live, tell me if you use COA, because I'd never heard of this until I started seeing people write about it.
Yeah. By the way, how many listeners did we have to our previous podcast?
I think it was like about 1.6 million.
Not more than that.
Well, it was a quiet one.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Katie.
Yeah, sorry, Katie, you only hit 1.6 million.
Yeah.
And we have some really cool guests lined up, actually. But we thought since we're in the same room for the first time since we started the Flutecast, we should probably do a special episode. So we're in Manchester in the UK.
Yeah.
And we're here for a couple of reasons, but I came up because you're here for a week because you're having something quite exciting.
Yeah.
That's not flute related.
But it's kind of flute related.
It's kind of flute related.
Like, not directly, but
yeah, I think it's great. Do you hear that? Okay. So tell us about it, Eric.
Yeah, so the thing is that I'm getting something that's called a scalp micropigmentation treatment. That means that because I've been losing so much hair, I'm actually getting hair follicles tattooed onto my head.
It is so crazy because it looks so real.
Maybe I should try. Should I show
people? I don't know if you'll be able to, but you
just
can
like
try.
A really quick. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be visible.
It looks like you've got a really shaved head, but it's not really.
But this is only the first treatment, so now it's not so. It's not as dense as it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think it will affect your flute playing life?
I think I might feel better about how I look when I go on stage. You know, when you're standing there and everyone's looking at you, it's so easy to get self-conscious about how you look. I wish it wasn't, but for me at least, I have to honestly admit it does.
It's so true, and I definitely play better. I don't know if the word is play better, but I definitely enjoy being on stage more when I'm more confident about like how I'm feeling at the time, whether it's like not being exhausted or having put on or lost weight or any of these things, you know, have you like got a nice shirt that's clean? You know what, like I hate, sometimes I've got a couple of concerts in a row and I don't have enough shirts all the time, you know, there's only so many.
Yeah, because you're on tour, like, like your tour lasts forever.
And so, most of the time I'll like obviously have them put in the laundry in the hotels or whatever as I go, but occasionally I can't get it done in time, so I have to wear like a shirt twice in a row. And of course it's only on for like an hour and a half because I get changed really late. We were talking about this earlier, how late I get changed before a concert. I literally will get changed maybe 10 minutes before the concert starts. I hate hanging around in my concert clothes. And before the, like, while the audience are even leaving their seats at the end, I'm already getting changed back into like my
I just have
clothes.
To tell you a funny story.
Okay.
That I just came to think about now. I once left on to, I went on tour. And, okay, so I used to be quite a lot thinner than I am. So I've been, like, constantly needing to buy a new suit. And then that doesn't fit anymore, so I need another suit.
Yeah,
and I went
so many times.
And I went on tour. I went to Russia. And we just came to the city. I don't remember where it was, like, Arkhangelsk, or if it was in St. Petersburg or wherever it was. But we just arrived to the airport and we drove directly to the concert hall.
Yeah.
And we needed to just go and change and go on stage. It was crazy. And as I'm, like, I took off my trousers and my sweater and I was about to take on the suit and I brought it wrong suit, so it was way too small. No. So I couldn't even like close it. I just
what did you do?
I didn't close it, but I like just let the shirt over it. Yeah, but I was sitting in the orchestra playing, so it. I know I noticed, but it was just uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, but you know, when I was in the orchestra, I used to keep my shirt button undone on my tails. You know, my evening tails that you have to wear. We're a little fashioned in the UK for stuff like this. And because I hate playing with a really restricted collar. When you're doing like recital or even concerto work or anything where more people are looking at you and you're not... Oh, my phone's ringing. And you're not hidden in the... I hope this hasn't cancelled our podcast.
No, I don't think it
did. How do we keep going? You're now recording long motion. Oh, I don't know how to stop it.
I don't know. Sorry, people. Sorry, guys.
I forgot to put my phone on airplane. Do you think I should do that? Oh, crap. Oh, sorry. We can just stick them together. Okay.
So the people watching here
We're back on the anchor. We'll just stick the two bits of the podcast together. So when you listen to the podcast, you'll hear a bit where we.
But there's no flute cast if there are no technical problems.
Absolutely not. So my phone keeps ringing. Stop calling me. oh my gosh, this is my. Why is it stopped again? I don't know. I'm just going to stop it and start it. I don't know what's going on anymore with this. Everyone, stop calling me. Whoever's calling me, stop it. Stop phoning me. Okay, we're back on. So,
we had some technical problems for the listeners.
I think we always have technical problems. Yeah. Always.
So, like, our listeners need to be aware of that.
Steven not to call me when I'm recording. Yeah, totally. I'm scared it's going to happen again. So, what were you saying? Yeah, but concert clothes. I forget. Do you know this? Once I turned up with two left shoes.
No way!
Actually, that was in Manchester, where we are at the moment. And I was staying literally across the road from the concert hall. And I don't know how I managed that, two left shoes. But it was fine. I just wore two left shoes on the stage. And then once, obviously, actually many times, my luggage hasn't turned up.
Really?
Yeah, that's terrifying because you have to run out and... find things, but the problem is I don't like to wear concert clothes that have just been bought off the shelf because they're not comfortable, they're not made for holding flutes.
Yeah.
So most of my concert clothes I've had made, and I'm just worried this podcast is cancelling.
You know, I think you should actually, even though we are running the podcast, I think people understand that if because we are doing it, I'm going to show the people who are watching, like, this is the only equipment used to do this podcast. Like,
well, normally we have two of them in different countries.
Yeah. So I think people will excuse us for letting you send a text message to this person.
No, I don't need to text. I just am worried that the thing cancels again. But we're good.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's called a bit funny. But you know, I have a concert next Friday or next in a few days. I don't even know. It's next week sometime. And the dress code is flowery shirts.
Really?
I got this email and we've got to wear flowery shirts. I don't own a flowery shirt, so I gotta go buy one.
Will you do a challenge on the spot?
Depends what it is. What we're talking about.
You have to say yes.
Okay, yes.
Pick up your flute. I want you to play the prelude à l'après-midi d'un fun transposed so that you start on the note F.
Oh. Don't judge me though.
I will totally judge you.
Is that not right?
No.
Is it not? Okay, got it. Really hard actually. I thought it was clapping, but apparently it's not.
It's not.
Oh. Okay, I've got a challenge for you. Pick up your flute.
Okay.
I would like you to play the Prokofiev sonata transpose starting on the note G.
Okay.
It can't be done, I'm joking. It's impossible. I'm quite impressed.
lucky.
Well, I got the first note right, and then it went wrong from the second note. You at least got five notes. Hey, the number one question that we have been asked, because we're getting loads of messages on the flute cast, how did you start the flute?
So I should answer that.
Yeah, I want to know.
How did I start flute? I actually started playing the clarinet.
You did not.
I did.
Did you?
I did. I did for 4 years. I played the clarinet.
Really? How should I not know that? 4 years is a long time.
I'm ashamed. No, I'm not ashamed.
Don't be ashamed.
But I started playing the clarinet when I was 9. And then I actually initially wanted to play the saxophone.
Me too.
Yeah? That's so funny. But I was given the clarinet, and as I was playing it with this wind orchestra, like as a beginner, I just fell in love with the flute. So I was like, making my parents crazy. I was all the time nagging at them, like, I want the flute, you know. And I was even playing the recorder in school. I was like holding it as a transverse flute.
So do you remember like the first time you heard a flute other than the wind band, or was it in the wind band?
I guess it was in the wind band. I'm not sure. It's a long time ago.
And so you played clarinet in this wind band for 4 years.
Yeah.
And then did you get a flute and you played both?
Yeah. My parents gave me a flute for my 13th birthday. So I didn't have a teacher before I was 16, actually. I just had this fingering chart. And I practiced my clarinet sheet music on the flute instead.
And how did you know about like tonguing and...
I didn't. I had so many bad habits.
That's actually amazing. So when did you get your first flute? So you got your first flute lesson at 16.
Yeah.
And do you remember what you played in your first flute lesson?
We played Telemann, I think. No, actually, we played the Muise.
Oh my gosh.
No, come on. Nothing bad. These 24 easy etudes.
Yeah, but they're really hard.
But
I want a burger.
Yeah.
A cheesy burger.
But now at 30 something, they are hard. When you are 16, you're like, oh, this is easy, you know.
They're really hard. That's so cool. So you were quite a late comer to flute playing.
Yeah, but I think because during these 4 years that I played the clarinet, but I wanted to play the flute, I think I kind of built up this kind of urge, this need for the flute. So,
and also so many things are the same, like the breathing is the same, the skill is the same, you know.
A lot of the fingerings are the same.
Oh, are they? I don't know clarinet playing at all.
In the second octave they are quite similar, not in the first octave.
Do you know why I could not be a clarinet player?
No.
Because the thought of having a reed in my mouth.
I agree. I never really enjoyed that.
When I was in Scotland as a student, the clarinet player, excuse me, in the Royal Scottish National Orchestra used to clean his reeds with toothpaste and a toothbrush. I thought that was going to be kind of normal, but apparently it's not.
I had a student once, a flute student, who cleaned her pads with toothpaste, and that flute was destroyed. It was completely ruined.
Why would
ruined.
You do that?
I have no idea.
Well, I kind of understand it. Maybe she thought, because this guy with the reeds and the toothpaste said to me, or said to someone, that the if you think of like the saliva in your mouth that goes on the reeds, all the enzymes and things like that, you know, the toothpaste is designed to break them down.
Yeah.
So maybe the girl was thinking the same, like if you think of all your kind of moisture that gets on your pads, it comes from your spit essentially, maybe like she thought the toothpaste would, I don't know, but that is nuts. I had a student once, this was one of my most memorable moments. I spent a year teaching kids in Birmingham, like 3 days a week teaching real little kids. And
real little kids.
It was hardcore.
Not the fake ones.
It was a hardcore job, I'm not kidding. Anyway, one day this kid came in, and they all used to come in groups of like five or something. It was really intense, and it was hard work. And this kid came in, and she didn't have her flute. And I was like, what's wrong with your flute? And she's like, no, she did come in, but her flute was broken.
Don't tap the table.
Sorry, why not? Oh, because the recording will pick it up. So I was like, oh, your flute's not working. You'll need to get it repaired in this place. You know, and I gave her the name of the flute shop, the music shop in Birmingham. Next week, she came in for lessons, still no flute. And I was like, where's your flute? And she's like, oh, it's still getting repaired. And I was like, how can it still be getting repaired? It was just a cheap flute, you know, it wasn't going to be stripped apart and repadded and things
Stop
like that.
Stop that!
Sorry. And third week she came in and it still she still didn't have a flute. And I said, where on earth is your flute? And she said, oh, my dad has it. He's going to fix it himself. And I said,
Her dad.
I was like, does your dad know how to fix flutes? What does he do for a living? And she went, he works for Quick Fit.
No way.
Do you know what Quick Fit is? Yeah. It's like a car garage. And apparently this man took the flute apart and put it in the bath, like washed it all the things you shouldn't do, and came back.
I just
back
need to give a disclaimer to the people listening on the podcast. If you hear like some percussion sounds, it's just Steven constantly tapping the table with his hand.
Sorry. So anyways, let's keep this podcast a little shorter today because we've got so much to do. So earlier on I sent you something to your iPad.
Yeah.
I'd like you to open it up. So we have two iPads here.
Sure.
This is my iPad. This is a white model. I don't know what iPad it is. Okay, so this is, I don't know who this person is, so if you're watching our Flutecast live, or if you're listening to the podcast, you may want to know that we're doing your quiz. This is Rachel Taylor, oh no, hold on.
Grayer.
Is that all one word? Rachel Taylor Gear. I don't know. Yeah. This is the address. Rachel Taylor Geyer.org. Anyway, she's got what's called the flute quiz. Mm-hmm. And I looked for a really good flute quiz, but they were too easy. But this one looks quite hard, and there's so many questions, we're not going to go through them all. But we're going to start, and we're going to do them with you guys. Let's see if you know the answer. So, question number one. Let me just check that my phone is flashing again. This worries me. Yep,
we're still recording.
Okay, question number one. How many flute sonatas did J.S. Bach compose? You have a choice. 5, 6, 7, or 8. So don't tell me your answer.
Okay, I shouldn't tell you the answer.
No.
Okay.
Oh, can you actually highlight the answer?
No.
Oh, okay. How do we find out the answers? I didn't think this through. I went for 6. What did you go for?
I would also go for 6.
But it could be less. It could be 5, you know, because so many of them, they don't know if he wrote.
But is there, like, some
answers?
I don't know.
Are the answers
on
the bottom?
Wow, so many.
Oh, yeah, hold on. Is this the answers here? Oh, my gosh, I didn't think this through, that there's no answers. I'm so ashamed.
Let's just see if we can answer them.
But I'd really like to know the answers. Does it tell you, like, where to get the answers? Hang on, let me read it real quick. Until then, have a good... I will post the answer key for this quiz next week! Okay. This is a massive fail. Okay, so we're going for 6. If you're on our Instagram live, play along as well. How many Bach sonatas are there? You and Sebastian Bach sonatas.
Yeah, put it in the comments. Please do.
Okay, question number 2.
The one person is watching right now.
But I said, don't say that.
I mean the 1 million people watching right now.
Who was the father of the French flute school? Jean-Pierre Rampal, Philippe Gobert, Theobald Boehm, or Paul Taffanel?
I would say Paul Taffanel.
Yeah, I'd have gone for Taffanel. What do you guys think? Moving on. Oh, that's a rubbish question. Let's not do that one. Oh, no, let's do it. What is a shakuhachi?
I have no idea.
Really?
Absolutely no idea.
Oh, I thought that was an easy one. That's why I was skipping it. An Irish keyless flute, a traditional Native American flute, a Japanese end-blown flute, or a large pan flute?
I would guess it's a Japanese flute.
It is a Japanese flute. Yeah. I actually have some shakuhachis.
Yeah?
Yeah, can I go give them a set in... Japan. I was trying to think where it was, but then I was like, obviously done. Okay, here we go. Prokofiev's famous... This is incorrect. This is an incorrect question. Prokofiev's famous sonata was originally written for which instrument? It's not an incorrect question.
It's not incorrect.
Piano, violin, cello, or flute?
Flute.
The flute?
Yeah.
But I thought it was going to not have flute as an option and going to say it was violin.
Oh, really?
But you know, David Oistrakh, who is like this famous violinist, yeah, he heard the flute sonata being played and he asked Prokofiev to rewrite it. Is that the term?
Yeah, transcribe it.
Transcribe it for flute.
Yeah.
And because there's more violinists in the world than flute players, when you buy the copy, the piano part is often the violin.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
so
it's for the violin in my edition anyway.
But that's really annoying because it should be the other way around.
Yeah, I don't care actually. I think it's kind of cool to see what the violinist would do. So
I just think that's so weird that you spend all this money on buying a flute sonata and then they give you the violin version of the piano part. But I don't know. Yeah. Did you know that the Franz sonata actually, when he wrote it, I think this is true, I hope no one corrects me, but he gave it as a wedding. He wrote it as a wedding present for his friend. And on the cover of the music that he gave to them, it said, written for flute, violin, or cello. And he wrote it for three instruments because you could make more money that way. Yeah. But the flute came first on the list.
Wow.
But we all look at it as a violin sonata.
Yeah, definitely.
But if we're going to look at his original manuscript, flute came first on the list. So there you go. Okay. I have no idea what this means.
Should we just skip the stupid questions?
Like number five?
No, I mean the not so interesting questions.
Number five.
Sorry,
is not so interesting.
Rachel Taylor Geyer.
Okay, number six. Who premiered the 1919 performance of the Griffiths poem for flute and orchestra? Georges Barrère, Philippe Gobert, William Kincaid, or Marcel Moïse?
My guess would be Georges Barrère.
I would agree, but it could be Kincaid, right? Because he's American. I don't know, though. No, I think Georges Barrère. I think William Kincaid was alive later, wasn't he?
Maybe.
I would go Georges Barrère. Who knows? Who is pictured below? Not a clue.
Not a clue.
But you guys, don't you want to see who this is?
But the people listening can't see it.
No, you can't see. I don't know if you get... Yeah, you can see that. Who is this? Does anybody know who that is? Because neither of us know.
Please tell us.
I can't believe this is the flute quiz and we're both totally clueless. Okay, next question. Let me just check. We're still recording.
Let's skip number eight. It's not a good question.
Oh, my iPad's gone funny. Okay. Okay, number nine. Who was Charles Nicholson? A conductor at the Paris Opera, a famous English flutist and composer, a famous German flutist and conductor, an American jazz flutist and recording artiste. I know. He was a famous English flutist and composer. Didn't he have like a flute? Like, you know how we had the bone flute? It was like the Nicholson flute. And it had, I don't know. Charles Nicholson, I know that name. He was definitely English. Okay, Schubert's Introduction and Variations is based on a poem titled Trockene Blumen. Who is the author of this poem?
I know.
Who?
It's... No, I don't know. I thought I knew.
Friedrich Schiller, Hermann Hesse, Heinrich von Kleist, or Wilhelm Müller. I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm kind of embarrassed.
I'm not remotely interested.
I'm so into this piece. So.
I mean, gosh, I think it's got an amazing introduction and then it just is the most boring piece.
I completely disagree. I love Trockene Blumen.
Who was Pan? Oh, this is... we all know who Pan was. Let's skip that. 12. Reinecke's Sonata Undine is based on the story of what type of mythological creatures?
Mermaids.
It was the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
It was the same story, right?
Kind of. Not exactly.
During... Oh, this is a good question, but I'm... Oh, yes, it's hard. During the pantomime section of the ballet, which love story do Daphnis and Chloe mime? This is like the big famous flute solo bit.
Yeah.
So is it Romeo and Juliet?
No.
Tristan and Isolde?
No.
Pan and Syrinx? Orpheus and Eurydice?
I'm not sure.
It's Pan and Syrinx.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Pan and Syrinx. That's why it's on the flute.
It should be...
Oh, yeah, why has someone done, like, a mashup of that? Yeah. Okay, 14. Chantalinos is based on the story of the mythological musician Linus. I think that's how you say his name.
Linus.
Linus. To which Greek hero or heroes did Linus allegedly teach music? I have no idea. Hercules, Hector, Jason, Orpheus, or a combination of the above?
I have no idea.
Me neither. Which notes are... Skip that one. Okay, this is a good one. 17. According to legend, what was Cecile Chaminade's inspiration behind the concertino in D major? Was it A, to compose a piece so difficult that her flute-playing ex-lover could not play it? They make this sound so juicy. B, to celebrate her marriage to a renowned music publisher. C, to honour her friend, flutist Marguerite de Forest Anderson, who premiered the work in London in 1910, or D, to illustrate the love story of Palias and Melisande.
It's definitely not the latter.
Well, I think it's A, but it's not quite A.
But it's kind of like gossip from the 19th century.
To compose a piece so difficult that her flute-playing ex-lover could not play it. She was in love with Paul Taffanel, right?
I've no idea.
Oh, really? How do I know this story?
But Taffanel could definitely play it.
Yeah, I thought that it was, the story goes something like, she composed this unbelievably beautiful piece for Paul Taffanel because he was getting married to another woman. Really? And she was in love with him. So she turned up at the wedding to give him this piece in the hope that he would fall in love with her and not marry this woman. So she went and she gave it to him and he went. It was definitely to do with her lover, ex-lover, whatever you want to call it. Okay, number 18. For which other instrument has Kent Kennan's Night Soliloquy been famously scored?
I have no clue. I don't know the piece.
I know of the piece. I never played it. I didn't know it was for something else. My guess would be saxophone, but I genuinely have no clue.
Huh.
Just because I could kind of hear it on saxophone in my head. In which keys are the Mozart's two flute concerti written?
G and D.
I'm not even answering that one. G and D. Who is the composer shown in the below photo? I have no idea.
No idea.
I don't know. Who is this photo, guys?
For anyone who's watching.
You don't even look familiar to me.
Okay, let's skipping through. Let's go down a bit because we're running out of time. Which barnyard animal is the inspiration behind Arthur Honegger's Dance de la Chèvre?
It's a goat.
Correct.
It's a chèvre. It's a goat.
Who published the holy grail of all fingering charts called A Modern Guide to Fingerings for the Flute? Was it A, Jean-Pierre Rampal,
no.
B, James Galway,
no.
C, I think that should be James Pellerite, don't know who that is, or D, Georges Barrère?
Georges Barrère.
Was it?
I've no clue.
I don't know either. Number 28, I know this one. Who is the flutist pictured in the below photo?
Marcel Moïse.
Marcel Moïse. Do you say Moïse?
Moïse.
I say Moïse. I do. Marcel Moïse. It feels so weird to me to go Marcel Moïse.
You know, when I speak English, names that aren't English, because I'm not a native English speaker, it's weird for me to pronounce these names with an English pronunciation. But while I'm speaking Norwegian, it's a different story. Then I would say Marcel Moïse.
Okay, yeah. Last question, which is number 30 in the list. I like this question because it's kind of more gossip. No, it's not gossip, but you'll see why. Who is currently serving as the principal flute of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra as of September 2017? Is it A, Mark Sparks, B, Robert Langevin, C, Jeannie Backstresser, or D, Kathleen Boyd?
Robert Langevin.
It is. Do you know these other players?
I know who Jeannie Backstresser is.
She has like the orchestral excerpt book that everybody uses.
Yeah, I think it's the best one.
Yeah, I also have the Trevor Y orchestral excerpt book.
Yeah, I have several excerpt books. I don't remember the authors, but...
My teachers used to complain about the Trevor Y books, though, because apparently there's quite a lot of misprints in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't use them
anymore.
But I like Jeannie Backstresser's book because it has the piano reduction for the orchestral parts.
Yeah, that's...
And it's not too heavy to carry about it.
Yeah. But that's so clever. It's so clever.
Yeah, it is clever. So, did you play along? We want to know if you know the answers to the ones we don't have a clue.
And Steve is now talking to the Instagram audience, not the listeners. Don't forget.
This is so complicated. This is so complicated. So, I think we should probably wrap things up.
Yeah.
Do you know what we haven't discussed? It's toothbrushes this episode, which is quite nice.
Toothbrushes.
Yeah. You always want to discuss toothbrushes, but because we've not got a guest here in the room.
Dental hygiene is so important for wind players.
This is true. Have you got any fillings?
No.
Oh, do you? I don't actually have any fillings.
Wow.
And but my dentist is very, what's the word, like dramatic? And he makes me really nervous. So first of all, his name is... I hope he doesn't listen to this. His name is Dr. Love. That really makes me anxious. So I go to visit Dr. Love a couple times a year and I'm
sorry to interrupt. I just have to tell like super short thing. I once visited a doctor in Belgium and his name was Sweet Love. Dr. Sweet Love. It's 100% true. You can Google it. He lives in Antwerp.
Like his first name was Sweet and his second name was Love?
No, it was like something.
Sweet what was Love. His first name?
I don't remember.
Oh my God, I'd love it to be something even better like... Willie Sweet Love.
Okay, now back to your story. So, I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, that's okay. It's not really a story. So anyway, my dentist is very dramatic and his name is Dr. Love and I'll be sitting there in the dentist chair and he'll go like, oh my goodness. Oh wow. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? Like, and he's like, these are really nice teeth. it's just really funny. And I think he's a nice dentist, but I don't know if being dramatic is... a good quality in a dentist. Do you know what I mean? Makes me a little anxious.
Yeah, I can get that.
Sure. So
it's like if a hairdresser says, "Oops," while they're cutting your hair, you know.
That was worse than it's like the surgeon.
Oops.
So let's wrap it up. Anything else you want to talk about? You know what? Let's post a recording at the end of today's episode.
Yeah. What should we attach to this podcast?
Have you chosen one yet?
No, I haven't really.
No, I don't think I have either.
I think we should post a recording of Till Eulenspiel's Lustige Streicher.
Why?
By Strauss. Because the flute part is
hard.
Amazing. Really?
But I also feel like we should post...
I'm sorry for that singing outburst.
If you were to have one flute player who was like your inspiration...
My inspiration?
Yeah, one, only one.
Can you guess who's my biggest inspiration as a flute player?
Now or like, well, that's hard. Actually, I would go for a couple.
Like, I have one that really stands out, and he has been standing out for me.
Have you had lessons of him?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Fromage.
Yeah, Benoit Fromage.
I don't think his name is Fromage.
Benoit, Fromage.
How'd you say it?
Fromage.
Fromage, Benoit Fromage. And he is the flute professor at the...
Hochschule für Musik Hans Eisler in Berlin.
Oh, wow. And so actually you let me hear a really amazing recording of him. What was it? It was of a concerto I'd never heard of.
Thiriette.
We should link that.
Yeah, or the Jolivet concerto is also absolutely fantastic.
Okay, we'll link a piece of... Fromage.
Benoit Fromage.
Him. And then I think, you know, do you know who my inspiration would be? It's easy.
James Cole.
Yeah, he was like my hero, still is my hero, and my teacher, so I would like to put a piece of him on. I'm not sure what, but there's so many good recordings of him.
So we'll add two pieces. Should we add the same piece with both of them?
Oh, that's such a good idea.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Because they're both such amazing, like, top shelf players.
Oh my gosh.
And, yeah. But they're also so different. Like, you couldn't be more different, yeah. I think.
So we'll pop two recordings of the same piece up. One by Galway, who was my teacher. One by Fromage, who was your teacher.
Yeah.
And of course, there's great things that we can take from both.
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. Are we all done?
We're all done. Are you guys done?
The screen is just popping up like mad, but I... We don't really... It's all sideways, so we can't read it very clear. So JP!
Jean-Paul!
Hey, JP. Raving back at you.
You're now on our podcast. because we're recording it
so
now.
So, let's wrap things up, because I'm really hungry.
Me too.
So, thank you guys for listening to the first ever live episode of the Flutecast. We're going to be back in probably at least about 1 week's time, and we have the next three special guests all lined up. Don't miss them. They're going to blow your mind.
Yeah, so, definitely.
From Eric, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And from me, Stephen, goodbye. And we will speak to you guys real soon.